Okay, that's good. Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Punaktu, Sahabiryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavatitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Let's do the Vedic chanting. Om Ganana Antwa Ganapatigum Havamahe Kavin Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtarajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashvinvanuti Pirsidasadhanam Om Mahaganapataye Namaha Om Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya Mahadevaya Trayambakaya Tripurandakaya Trikalakni Kalaya Kalakni Rudraya Nilakantaya Mrityunjayaya Sarveshwaraya Sadashivaya Sriman Mahadevaya Namaha Om Trayambakaya Jamahe Sugandhim Pushtivartanam Urvarukamida Bandhanan Mitchor Mukshiyamamrita Asa Om Shanno Mitra Shang Varunaha Shanno Pavatvarayama Shanna Indro Brahaspatihi Shanno Vishnurukramaha Namo Brahmane, Namaste Vayo, Twameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi, Twameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadishyami, Vratam Vadishyami, Satyam Vadishyami, Tanmamavatu, Tadvaktaramavatu, Avatu Mam, Avatu Vaktaram. Om Shanti 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 Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahabiryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavatitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Yaschandasa Mrishabho Vishvarupaha Chando Pyo Jamrata Atsam Bapuva Samindro Metaya Astranotu Amritasya Devatarano Bhuyasam Shariram Me Vicharshanam Jihwa Me Matumattama Karna abhyam puri vishruvam Kammana kosho si metaya pitaha Shritam me gopaya Om shanti 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 Om aham vrikshasya reriva Kirti prashtangireriva Urdva pavitro vajiniva swamritamasmi Dravina Gunsavarchasam Sumedha Amratokshitaha Iti Trishankor Vedanu Vachanam Om Shanti 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 Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Apyayantu Mamangani Vak Pranas Chakshu Shrotramato Balamindriyani Chasarvani Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranam astu anirakaranam me astu Taratmani nirateya upanishat sudharmas te mai shantu Te mai shantu Om shanti 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 Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita Mano Me Vachi Pratishtitam Avira Virma Eti Vedasyama Ani Istaha Shrutam Me Ma Prahasihi Anena Ditena Aho Ratran Santadami Pratam Vadishyami Satyam Vadishyami Tanma Mavatu Tadvaktaram Avatu Avatu Mam Avatu Vaktaram Avatu Vaktaram Om Shanti 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 Om Padranno Abhivatayamanaha Om Shanti 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 Om Bhadram Karne Vishnu Yama Devaha Bhadram Pashye Makshabir Yajatraha Sirai Rangai Istushtu Vagum Sastanubihi Vyashema Devahitan Yadayuhu Swastina Indro Vrutashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha Swastina Sarksho Arishanemihi Swastino Brahaspatir Tadatu Om Shanti 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 Let's go to the top of page 5 and we'll work on this a little bit more. The top of the page that we're on. Okay. Om Vang Me. Excuse me. So I'll chant it once and then we'll chant it together twice. Okay? And then if it doesn't sound right, I'll ask you to do it again. Okay? Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita. Let me do it a couple times. So, Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita. Om Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita. Okay. Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita. Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita. Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita. Mano Me Vachi Pratishtitam. Mano Me Vachi Pratishtitam. Mano Me Vachi Pratishtitam. Mano Me Vachi Pratishtitam. Avira Virma Eti. Avira Virma Eti. Avira Virma Eti. Vedasya Maani Istaha. Vedasya Maani Istaha. Vedasya Maani Istaha. Shrutam me ma prahasihi, shrutam me ma prahasihi, shrutam me ma prahasihi, anena ditena, anena ditena, anena ditena, aho ratran santadami. Aho ratran santadami. Aho ratran santadami. Vratam vadishyami. Vratam vadishyami. Vratam vadishyami. Satyam vadishyami. Satyam vadishyami. Satyam vadishyami. Tanmam avatu. Tanmamavatu, Tanmamavatu, Tadvaktaramavatu, 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 Avatu Mam, Avatu Mam, Avatu Mam, Avatu Vak, Avatu Vaktaram, Avatu Vaktaram. Avatu Vaktaram, Avatu Vaktaram, Avatu Vaktaram, Avatu Vaktaram, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Anything else? Let's break it up. Avatu Vaktaram. 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 Now I'll repeat. I'll say it once, and you say it without me saying it. You say it twice. Om Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita.
Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita.
Mano Me Vachi
Pratishtitam. Mano Me Vachi
Pratishtitam. Avira Virma Edhi.
Avira Virma Edhi.
Avira Virma Edhi.
Avira Virma Edhi.
Listen. Avira Vir. Avira Vir. Say.
Avira Vir.
Avira Vir. Avira Vir Maedhi.
Maedhi.
Avira Vir Maedhi.
Avira Vir Maedhi.
When I break the Sandhi, it's Avir, which would be Avihi. Avir. Avir. See? Avir, short E. Avir, 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 Ma'edi. Avira, so Avira, see how that B is short? Avira, Avira, Vir, Avira, Vir, Ma'edi. Avira, Vir, Ma'edi. Avira Virma Edhi. Avira Virma Edhi. Avira Virma Edhi. Avira Virma Edhi.
Avira Virma Edhi. Avira Virma Edhi.
Sipping the reading. Avi. Okay. Avi. Everybody see that? Avi. Ravir. Aviravir. Aviravir. Ma'edi. Aviravir. Ma'edi. Aviravir. Ma'edi.
Avira Virma Edhi.
Avira Virma Edhi.
Vedasya Ma'ani
Istaha.
Vedasya Ma'ani
Istaha. Vedasya Ma'ani Istaha.
Vedasya Ma'ani
Istaha. For the Veda? Vedasya. Vedasya. Vedasya Ma'ani Istaha. Vedasya Ma'ani. Because I'm hearing a little bit of sha there. Sa, sa. Vedasya. Sya, sya. Sa, 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 sa. Vedasya. Vedasya. Vedasya Ma'ani Istaha. Vedasya Ma'ani Istaha. Vedasya Ma'ani Istaha. Okay, go.
Vedasya Ma'ani Istaha.
Again.
Vedasya Ma'ani Istaha.
Shrutam Me Ma Prahasihi.
Shrutam Me Ma Prahasihi.
Shrutam Me Ma Prahasihi.
Shrutam Me Ma Prahasihi.
Prahasihi. Shrutam me, say Shrutam me.
Shrutam me.
Ma Prahasihi.
Ma Prahasihi.
Sihi. Prahasihi.
Prahasihi.
Si, si.
Prahasihi.
Si. Si. Say see.
Si.
Yeah. Prahasihi.
Prahasihi.
Prahasihi. See. It's not sure. Prahasihi. Okay. Start.
I have a question though.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
You know, when we go, it's present as an M, but when the dot is above, it's supposed to be an N.
Now, when the dot is in this one, because the following, this is Sandhi, with the Shrutam, that dot, called Aniswara, will be pronounced as an M because of the following M. So it'd be Shrutam Me, right? Shrutam Me Ma.
Because of the following M, that's what
yeah, that's, and if it's...
But now, for instance, in the Satyam, right, there's an M and a dot above it, but there it becomes an NG.
Yes, in the line below... It because satyang, nyang. It's like it's a nasalized satyang vadishami.
Okay,
yeah, and that's sandhi. Okay. So let's do this back to Shrutam. Shrutam me ma prahasihi. Shrutam me ma prahasihi. Shrutam me ma prahasihi. Anena titena.
Anena titena.
Wanga. Anena titena.
Anena titena.
Short, look. Anena, okay? That's short, long. Long E and short A. So, anena titena.
Anena
titena.
Anena titena.
Aho ratran santadami.
Aho ratran santadami.
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 Aho ratran sandadhami.
Aho ratran sandadhami.
Aho ratran sandadhami.
Aho ratran sandadhami.
Ratang vadishyami.
Ratang vadishyami.
Ratang vadishyami.
Ratang vadishyami.
There you get the nga. Ratang vadishyami.
Ratang vadishyami.
Satyang vadishyami.
Satyang vadishyami.
Satyang vadishyami.
Satyang vadishyami.
Tanmamavatu.
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 Tadvaktaramavatu.
Tad vaktaram avatu.
Tad
vaktaram
avatu. Avatu mam.
Avatu mam.
Avatu mam.
Avatu mam.
Avatu vaktaram. Avatu vaktaram.
Avatu vaktaram. Avatu vaktaram.
Avatu vaktaram. Avatu vaktaram. Avatu Vaktaram, Avatu Vaktaram. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Nice. Let's just try chanting it together. Om Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishthita. Mano Me Vachi Pratishthitam. Aviravirma eti vedasya maani istaha shrutam ne ma prahasihi anena ditena Aho ratran santadami, ratan vadishyami, satyam vadishyami, tanmam avatu, vaktaram avatu, avatu mam, avatu vaktaram, avatu vaktaram. Om shanti shanti shanti. Good.
Hold on.
We'll each take a sip while you're getting your chai. Om padranno apivataya manaha. 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 Om Shant. Do you have a question? Anybody?
No.
Om padranno. Om padranno. Apivataya manaha. Apivataya manaha. Apivataya manaha. Apivataya manaha. Apivataya manaha. Om padranno apivataya manaha. Om padranno apivataya manaha. Om padranno apivataya manaha. Om padranno apivataya manaha. Om shanti shanti shanti. Anybody okay with that one?
Well, the
apivataya,
the transition from apivataya manaha.
Apivataya manaha. Apivataya manaha. Apivataya manaha.
Apivataya
manaha. The R is low, R is a low R. Right? Ah, it's apiva. Apiva.
That's
short. That's and down. Apivataya, apivataya manaha, apivataya manaha. So, yamana, yamanaha, apivataya manaha, apivataya manaha. Om, so repeat me. Om padranno apivataya manaha.
Om padranno
apivataya manaha. Taya manaha.
Taya manaha.
Taya manaha. Om padranno apivataya manaha.
Om padranno
apivataya
manaha.
Taya. Short.
Om padranno apivataya manaha. Om padranno.
And it's badrang, badran with a na. See that no following? That's a na. So, om badran, om badran no apivataya manaha. Om badran no apivataya manaha. Om badran no apivataya manaha. Om shanti shanti shanti. Everybody okay? Okay. That's enough. Right. We'll go on to the last one of the Shanti Pratas next week.
Skip right.
We're going to take a break here. Yeah, you need your Atma Bodha now, and we're going to do verse. You'll need your pages 6 and 7. Let me tell you what the verses are. The verse will be verse 30, 31, 32, hopefully. So verse 30 should be on your page 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody ready? Let's take a minute of quiet. Let's take just 1 minute of silence. Ed. Nishijani kilo padin, Nishijani kilo padin, Neti neti tivakyataha, Neti neti tivakyataha, Vidyadaikim mahavakyaihi, Vidyadaikim mahavakyaihi, Jivatma paramatmanoho, Jivatma paramatmanoho, Nishijani kilo padin. Nishijani kilo padin, neti neti tivakyataha, neti neti tivakyataha, vidyadaikim mahavakyaihi, vidyadaikim mahavakyaihi, jivatma paramatmanoho, jivatma paramatmanoho. Okay. Sandeep. I know that's the Gita raga, but I can't help it. Nishidya nikila upadin na iti na iti
na iti
na iti iti. See that? Na iti na iti iti vakyataha. The na plus e is a. A plus e is a, so that the nati, na iti, na iti. And then the e is ee, na iti, iti.
Wow, that's tricky.
Does everybody know that a plus e is a, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then vakyataha. Vidyat, aikyam, vidyat, aikyam mahavakyaihi jiva atma parama atmanoho. I'll read it again with the Sunday broken. Nishidya nikila upadin na iti na iti iti vakyataha vidyat aikyam mahavakyaihi jivatma jiva atma parama atmanoho. Okay. Nishidya. Nishidya is an indeclinable past participle. the ya ending instead of the twa, because there's the preposition there, ni. Most of you don't know that. Bill would probably know that, know what I'm talking about, and maybe Hasso. The rest of you haven't learned this yet, but it's an indeclinable past participle, the form that takes the form that's used when we have a preposition in the front, nishidya. Then it means having dismissed, or having, what's the word for that? Negated. Having negated or dismissed, nishidya. Nikila. Nikila means all. Everything. Nikila upadin. Upadi is actually it's a feminine short E ending noun. Well, it must be masculine. Upadi must be masculine. Sorry. Upadin must be a masculine noun. Upadin, like harin, is the accusative plural. So nikila upadin, right? All of the upadis. Nishidya nikila upadin. Having negated all of the upadis. Nikila upadi. Nikila upadin is a... Nikila upadi is a compound, where nikila is an adjective to upadi. So in having nishidya, having negated all of the upadis, upadin. Na iti vakyataha. Take the last word. Vakyataha. That taha ending from vakyataha is an indeclinable that gives the sense of the fifth case. So vakya means a statement or a sentence. Vakyataha, from the statement or from the sentence, from the words. You could say from the words, from the statement, from the sentence. Na iti. That na iti puts that last iti. Puts the na iti, neti, 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 neti in quotes. So from the statement, neti, neti. Everybody's heard neti, neti, right? Mm-hmm. But it really means not this. So neti, neti, not thus. No. Okay. Na iti. Iti, from this statement, not this. Mm-hmm. Having negated nishidya. Nikila upadin, having negated all the upadis from the words, by the words, not this. In other words, he's talking about what is the teaching methodology. It's really from the application of this teaching methodology, not this, which differentiates the subject from the object. And when you say neti, you are not this. You are not the body. You are not the sense organs. You are not the mind. So in the drikdrisha, the neti-neti is differentiating all of the upadis from yourself, as you are not this. So look at what's said here. Nishidya, having negated nikila upadin, all of the upadis from the statement, not this, means from, by means of, is the idea. How do you negate all the upadis? By neti-neti. Neti-neti actually stands for that teaching methodology of that seer-seen differentiation, where I am not this, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this, where you're negating everything that can be objectified. And he says, negating everything that can be objectified that you mistake to be yourself. That's what they mean by upadi. The upadi is that which allows for the misidentification. So an upadi means like this body is an upadi. Why? Because I can say I am the body. The mind is an upadi because I can say I am the mind. Right? That's what makes it an upadi. We call it conditioning adjunct. So he's giving the whole teaching methodology here in terms of this seer-seen differentiation. So first, having negated the upadis, from the statements, from the words, not this. That's the teaching methodology. Anything that's objectified, you are not that because it's an object. So neti stands for that teaching methodology. So if I really made the sentence clear, I would say, having negated nishidya, nikila upadin, all of the upadis, from the teaching methodology of neti, not this. That's complete, okay? This is, if you know the Sampradaya, you know that's what's being said there. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first, that's the first line. Now the second line just says, vidyat is a potential. You haven't learned the potential, it's a verb. Vidyat, one should know, one must know, or one should know, or one will definitely know, potential mood. The identity, aikyam. Aikyam means identity or oneness. Vidyat, one should know, aikyam, the identity. Mahavakyaihi, instrumental plural. Aikyam is the neuter nominative, it's accusative singular. Accusative singular, I think aikyam is neuter. Vidyat, one should know the aikyam. Accusative singular. I think aikyam is neuter, I'll have to look it up, because neuter and masculine are going to be the same case. So, one should know the aikyam, the identity. Mahavakyaihi. What's that aihi? Ramaihi. Instrumental plural. Write that aihi ending. Ramaihi, palaihi. It's the instrumental plural of a ending noun. So, by the Mahavakyas. What are the Mahavakyas? Tet Tvamasi, that thou art. Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. So, the Mahavakya is a technical term. If you wanted to translate it, it would mean great statement, the Mahavakya. But we don't translate it, really. We define it. The Mahavakya is that which shows the identity between the Jiva and Ishvara. So if I say, for instance, so that is the teaching. The Mahavakya makes you recognize I am the whole. For instance, the Mahavakya would be Tat Tvamasi. You are that. You, O Jiva, are Ishvara. For you to understand that you are Ishvara, you have to understand that you, the nature of the Jiva, is the Atma. The truth of the Jiva is the Atma. The truth of Ishvara is Brahman. Both are Satchitananda. So you understand, I am the consciousness, which is the truth of the whole. So the Mahavakya is that which brings about the identity between the Jiva and Ishvara, or between the Atma as a limited being, the Atma yourself. You take the self as being limited because of the upadis, identification with the upadis, and Brahman as the infinite self you take to be the self of Ishvara. The teaching is that this limited self is Brahman. So, aham brahmasmi. That's the Mahavakya. So here it says, one should know the identity by means of the Mahavakyas, like tetvamasmi, aham brahmasmi, I am Brahman, that thou art. Okay? Ayam atma Brahman, this atma is Brahman. So by these Mahavakyas, jiva atma, the self of the jiva, jiva atma, the jiva atma, the self of the jiva, Paramatma, the self of Ishvara, the supreme self. The self of the Jiva and the infinite self, Paramatma. So Jivatma, Paramatma noho. Atman is an unending noun. Atman. Atmanoho, genitive dual. So genitive dual. That oho ending. So Jivatma, Paramatma noho. We would say in English, the identity of the Jivatma and the Paramatma. We would say the identity, the aikyam, between the Jivatma and the Paramatma. Okay? That there is an identity, a oneness. The oneness, the identity of the Jivatma and the Paramatma, or the aikyam, the oneness between the Jivatma and the Paramatma. So between the Jivatma and the Paramatma, there is aikyam, there is identity. You can use just the word of also. The aikyam, the identity of the jiva, of the self of the jiva, and the self and the supreme self, Brahman.
Paramatma is the same as Brahman?
Paramatma, or the supreme self, the infinite self. It can also be Paramatma, the self of Ishvara.
Why do they use the word Brahman?
because they want to show in the Mahavakya, if I say, you are Ishwara, the Jiva is Ishwara, what is the same there? The Atma of the Jiva and the Paramatma, Atma, that's what. Clarity. Okay, so this is an important verse. So let's look at it again. Second line. One should know vidya, the identity, by the Mahavakyas, by means of the Mahavakyas, of or between the Jivatma and the Paramatma. So Jivatma, Paramatma, Noho, this is a compound. For those of you, for some of you who are a little more advanced in the Sanskrit, look at this compound, Jivatma, Paramatma, Noho. The Jivatma, that first, is Tatpurusha, the self of the Jiva. The second two words, Paramatma, is another Tatpurusha. It could be the self of Ishwara's Parama, or it could be a Karmadarya, which is an adjectival relation, the Atma, which is infinite. So, but now you've got between the Jivatma and the Paramatma a dwandva. So the Jivatma and the Paramatma. So there's an internal dwandva there. And then that whole thing is in the genitive dual. So, and it goes with Aikim, the identity of the Jivatma and the Paramatma by means of the Mahavakya.
Parama. A little bit better than infinite.
I don't like supreme, but it often translates as supreme. But what is meant by supreme or parama? That which is free from desha kala vastu parichedaha. That means that which is not limited by space, desha, kala, time, vastu, objectivity. Parama. So that which is supreme, that which is infinite, that which is changeless. But if say you want the Sanskrit, desha kala vastu paricheda, aparicheda. Aparicheda means not limited by desha, space, kala, time, and vastu.
Wow. It's incredible to have all kinds of words to talk about the non-duality. Absolutely. We don't have so many.
Yeah. Even though some of you don't know this, since Bill's here and also, I want to just talk about it so you can hear these things. Mm-hmm. So they kind of don't think you need to know them, but just let them go in so you get a little
exposed
to it. Then when we study it, you'll have heard about it. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so now in this verse,
was Bill a scholar?
Yes, he is.
Well, let's see Bill out of it.
Anybody who studies Sanskrit is a scholar. You're all scholars. you all have some sort of vasana, some karma.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
There's an important sequence here. It explains it in the Bhasha, but just because you're studying Sanskrit and you should be learning, there's something important. I'd like to explain it. What it is in terms of the teaching methodology, and that is this: in the teaching methodology, you can't point to the Atma through the Mahavakya, saying that you are Brahman, you are infinite, unless you have negated the upadis from the self. Because for the person who doesn't have self-knowledge, there is an identity between the conditioning agent, like the body, and the self. That's why you can say, I am the body. Or you can say, I am the mind. Right? So you, because that's what the upadi is. Because there's self-ignorance there, there is this natural association, there's a natural identification between the nature of the Atma and the upadi. And so you, because of that, you can't come to you. You can't, as a teacher, tell your student, "You are Brahman. You are infinite. You are Ishwara." You can't tell the student that, because the student would then think, "How can I be Brahman? Or how can I be infinite? How can I be Ishwara?" Because for the student, the identification is with the upadi, the body, the mind, the sense organs, right? So in the teaching methodology, you need to first show the student step by step through neti neti, you are not this. You are not the body. The body is an object of your awareness. It's something that you watch change while you remain. So all of the logics the student needs to be exposed to, so that the student can see, ah, that's right. There is a subject-object differentiation. This body is an object of my awareness. It is not the nature of me, the subject. So through the not this, not this, that negation has been made real in the mind of the student. It's recognized. That differentiation has been recognized. That's the nishidya, having negated the upadis through not this, not this, through the see or seen differentiation. That needs to be done first. Okay? After that is done, then one needs to know, one needs to gain the knowledge of the identity of the Paramatma and the Jiva, this self that is now abiding there without identification with the upadis. But now you're just abiding there as a consciousness that's not the upadis. So now the Mahavakya has to come in at this time to show that the conscious being that you are is the conscious being of Ishwara. Right? So now the teaching of the Mahavakya becomes meaningful and useful for you to be able to see it, to understand it. So if you don't do the differentiation with the upadis, that can't take place. Everybody see?
Yes.
Okay, that's why this verse is very important in terms of the teaching methodology. Okay?
Well, is there any other means of knowledge to make that identity between the Atma and Paramatma?
Well, there are many different methodologies, right? There's many different prakriyas, teaching methodologies to make this seen. The easiest one and the one that is used normally, initially, is the see or seen differentiation. Because I can objectify something, I can see the subject-object relationship, you know, then I can realize that there's not an identity between the subject and the object. Then there are other prakriyas that we move into from there, like the waking, dream, deep sleep. I'm the one who is the waker, is the one who is the dreamer, is the one who's the deep sleeper. And then from there, we have to go more into the nature of Ishwara. But this is...
Upanishads are the source of knowledge.
Yeah, and they contain all of the different methodologies. Everybody okay? Okay. So let's chant this again. Nishid janikilo padin. Nishid janikilo padin. Neti neti tivakitaha. Neti neti tivakitaha. Vidyaraikya mahavakyaihi. Vidyaraikya mahavakyaihi. Jivatma paramatmanoho. Jivatma paramatmanoho. Avidyakam shariradi.
Avidyakam shariradi.
Drishyam buddhavaksharam. Drishyam buddhavaksharam. Etad vilakshanam vidyat. Etad vilakshanam vidyat. Aham brahmeti nirmalam. Meti nirmalam. Avidyakam shariradi. Avidyakam shariradi. Drishyam buddhavaksharam. Drishyam buddhavaksharam. Etad vilakshanam vidyat. Etad vilakshanam vidyat. Aham brahmeti nirmalam. Aham brahmeti nirmalam. Sandhi. Avidyakam sharira adi. Drishyam budbuddha vat. Budbuddha is actually a word, budbuddha. Budbuddha vat. Ksharam. Etat vilakshanam vidyat. Aham brahma iti nirmalam. जैसे अविद्यकम कैन बी मीन belonging to avidya or up to avidya or born of avidya. I'm just taking it as born of avidya, avidyakam. Can also be avidyakam, means up to avidya, as far as avidya. But if you just take it as born of avidya, avidyakam.
Born of ignorance.
Sharira Adi, the physical body, etc. So it means really, Adi here is a neuter, Sharira Adi, beginning with the physical body. The physical, the Sharira, the physical body, the Sharira, or you could just take Sharira, since it says Adi, the physical body, you could take like this, the physical body, the subtle body, the causal body, or you could take the body, the sense organs, and the mind. All of these things are born of avidya. Everything about the upadhi, the physical body, the sense organs, the mind, all of these things, they are avidyakam, born of avidya, belong in the sphere of avidya, is another way of taking that. Avidyakam, shariradi. They are drishyam. Drishyam means they can be objectified. It's a potential participle, drishyam. Objectifiable, right? They can be objectified, they can be seen. They are capable of being seen, of objectified. All of these things, the body, etc., avidyakam, which are born of avidya, drishyam, are objectifiable. Buddhavat. Buddhavat means like bubbles. Buddha can be like bubbles. Buddha can also be just momentary, but kshatam, the next word, means momentary. And since they have vat there, you take buddha to be bubbles or froth. You know, like bubbles in the water, the froth on the ocean. So buddhavat, like froth or like bubbles, kshatam, they are momentary. Transitory, momentary. And if you think about it, you know, in the scheme of things, in terms of the universe, how long does this life last? I mean, it's not even a click of the fingers.
Yeah.
So in the scheme of things, this is absolutely transitory. For us, you know, I can see, oh, this is a long life. But it isn't. Everything in terms of your experience is absolutely momentary. Everything, you know, because you can't stop change. Change is infinitely divisible, so you can never find anything here so momentary. So here it says, avidyakam shariradi, the body, mind, sense organs, every upadhi, beginning with the body, which is born of ignorance, it is drishyam, it is objectifiable, right? It is buddhavat kshatam, it is momentary, transitory, like bubbles, like froth. That vat at the end of a word is an indeclinable, and it means vat. Remember this atma-bodha, this vat affix is being used all the time. Either vat means like, or yata, just as, or eva. Everybody remember this? Vat means like as an indeclinable next to the word, yata as a, an indeclinable word, yata, just as. Eva is an indeclinable. And that also means like, right? So there's different ways of saying, bringing out the illustration or the drishtanta here. So here, avidyakam, shariradi, drishyam, buddhavat kshatam. All of these things, the body, etc., born of avidya, they're objectifiable and momentary, just like bubbles. Okay? Etat vilakshanam vidyat. One should know, vidyat, potential third person singular, one should know, aham, I, etad vilakshanam, I am, one should know that I am different than that, etad this, or that, vilakshanam, other than, different from, One should know Aham Brahma Iti. I am Brahman. Aham Brahma Iti. This or that. In English, you see that. Referring to the first sentence. See, the first sentence says, the body, etc., born of avidya, is an objectifiable and is momentary like bubbles. Etad vilakshanam. One should know as etad vilakshanam, as other than that, vilakshanam. Lakshana, a lakshana means a definition. Vilakshana means the definition is different. It's a other, it's defined differently. So aham, this the body is defined as being born of avidya, it's objectifiable, it's temporary, like bubbles, transitory like bubbles. One should know aham brahma, I am Brahman. Etad vilakshanam, totally different. My being differently defined, I am other than that, different from that. Nirmalam, I am without any, I am pure. Means they're totally without ajnanam, with nirmalam, without any impurities. Mala means purity, nirmalam means without any impurity. But the impurities are for anything from ajnana on. Anything within duality is an impurity, right? So impurity can be in towards the mind. One who has raga dveshas will use nirmala. But nirmala can also mean just the avidya or any type of duality. So the atma is without any type of impurity. There's no duality there at all. It just simply what it is what it is. There's no second thing. So it's completely pure. As sat chit ananda, the sat which is chit, which is ananda, that is one without a second. It has no second thing there. No impurity. Like say if you say your existence with a little bit of that. That little bit of that is, it would be mulla. Whatever that is, doesn't matter what it is. It's something other than the sat chit. Do you understand this? See, if I say something is sat, which is chit, it's existence, which is consciousness, which is limitless ananda. That's the nature of Brahman. But is there anything else in there? Like any little thing? That little thing would be a mulla. Any little speck, any type of anything else to make it other than sat chit ananda? That would be mulla. Nirmala means there's nothing else there. It is absolutely that, only that, sat chit ananda.
Is that the same as the word shuddha?
Yeah. Shuddha. It's just shuddha is positive, means pure. Nirmala means pure, but in the negative, without impurity.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's sweet.
So they're using this nirmala without impurity here because they've just negated all of these things, right? So they're saying that one should know oneself as aham brahma, I am Brahman, I am infinite. Etad vilakshanam, different from this. I'm not the body, I'm not the mind, I'm not the sense organs, I'm not objectifiable, I'm not a born of avidya, I'm not transitory. These definitions don't apply to me. I am Brahman, nirmalam, completely free of all of these mullas, any type of impurity. See, it's really beautiful. This is all teaching methodology. That's why if you understand that first verse, now there's positive. First of all, in the first line, they're talking about and going on and on. And if you were teaching your student this first line, avidyadikam shariradi drishyam buddhavaksharam, you would spend first half or more of the class on that. How is it true that the body, etc., what do they mean by body, etc., body, mind, sense organs, are drishyam? You can't just say that. You can't say, oh, the body is objectifiable. It doesn't mean anything. You have to unfold what it means for the body to be an object of your awareness. That there's a subject-object differentiation there, that you're aware of it. You know how tall it is, how if it's male or female. You know how it feels. You know how old it is. You can shut your eyes and be totally aware of it. You have to show that it's an object. You have to show so that in the student's mind, they see this, my mind, is an object. It's objectifiable, means I see the thoughts. I'm aware of the thoughts. I'm aware of the emotions. I'm aware of the feelings. They come and go. Buddhavaksharam. One thought comes and it goes. So student has to see that. So in this first line, they're dealing with the drishya. Drik, drishya viveka. Seer seeing differentiation. Right? This first line, talking about the drishya. And shariradi, that shariradi stands for all of the upadis, the body, etc. So anything that can be taken as an upadi, so that adi, you have to unfold that now. The body, etc. What's that, etc.? And then you have to make the student experience their own body, their own mind, their own sense organs as all of these things. Right? Then, after that, you can say, you can go to the next line, which now we're getting into the Mahavakya. Aham Brahma, I am Brahman, who is etad vilakshanam, different from this. Right? Different from this. So you have to show how you're different. Nirmalam. So the second line is the positive assertion of the Mahavakya. So this verse here is unfolding the previous verse. And it's a teaching methodology. That's why you can't just read this. You have to make the student see it. You have to see it, and you have to make your student see it. That's why you can't. That's why it takes an hour or more to unfold a verse.
And that's why it's so hard to talk to your friends about any of this stuff, because you need to start from scratch.
You have to always start from scratch.
You have to understand it yourself.
You have to understand it yourself, but then to teach it to the student.
Yeah,
and it's not coffee quetch either.
No. Yeah. Well, that's because you...
And who's interested in it anyway?
The mumukshus are.
Let's chant this and take a break. Avidyakam shariradi, avidyakam shariradi, drishyam buddhavaksharam, drishyam buddhavaksharam, etad vilakshanam vidyat, etad vilakshanam vidyat, aham brahmeti nirmalam, aham brahmeti nirmalam. Okay, you should take a... Now you need to check your cards. Yeah. Everybody ready for some Sanskrit grammar? I want to talk I want to give some examples, more examples, so that you really understand in English the use of first the past passive participle, because I feel like that's still not clear. And then we'll actually see more examples of it. So I want you to really understand how it's used in English. And I forget what the Antoine calls it. I've never, in any of my studies, I haven't had it called, and they call it perfect participle passive. So I just want you to note perfect participle passive and past passive participle are exactly the same. Okay. Does everybody happen to have Antoine here with you? Could you turn then to page 89? I want to go over this in the book, and then we can I can explain it to you in my own way. Okay. Go down to number 3 at the bottom of the page. Okay. The perfect passive participle, past passive, PPP, can be used as an adjective, 1, as a finite verb in the passive, 2, okay, next page, as a finite verb in the active, in the case of intransitive verbs, and verbs meaning to go, to stand, to dwell. Okay.
Which page is that? Sorry.
89. You should have been the bottom of page
89. Oh, okay. It's 89. It starts at the bottom of 89.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Okay. And then, I have arrived from the village, never mind that. And then, as an impersonal passive, it has always been used in the neuter singular. I'll show you something about that. But what I want you to understand, just in some English sentences, how it's used, okay? In your Bhandarkar, could you pull up in your Bhandarkar? I'm going to put some of these on the board. I'm going to show an example of it being in the English, okay? The pot was made by the pot maker. That's the sentence. Okay? The pot was made by the pot maker. Everybody with me on that? Actually, the sentence that I'm translating is the second sentence on page 93 in your Bhandarkar. You don't need to know that right now, but just for your information, it's the sentence Kumbhakarena Kritaha Kritaha. By the pot maker, the pot was made. Did I see that? But I want to do it in English first. There's something I want you to understand here. The pot was made by the pot maker. Do you see that that's in passive voice? Mm-hmm. Active voice would be the pot maker made the pot, right? That's the first thing to understand. The pot maker made the pot. Can you read my handwriting? Mm-hmm. The pot maker made the pot. In the active voice, right, the subject, the one who's actually doing the action, is put in the nominative, right? So the pot maker is the one who's doing the making. So here in the active voice, the pot maker is the one who made the pot. In the passive voice, okay, so here's the doer of the action, the verb, and the object of the action. Pot maker makes pot. Okay? That's active voice.
Made.
Or made, yeah. The pot maker made the pot. Okay? Is that all right? Do you see that this is the subject of the verb? Everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
And pot is the object of the verb? Pot maker made pot. In the passive voice, the object is put in the nominative case. The pot was made. So here you have made, active. Was made, passive. The pot was made by the pot maker. So now the object is put in as the subject in the nominative case. And the one who made the object is put in the instrumental. So the pot was made by the pot maker. The pot maker made the pot. Do you see how these sentences say exactly the same thing, but the construction is different?
Yeah.
Do you see how in this, in the active voice, the one who actually makes the pot is the subject of the sentence in the nominative. In the passive, the object, the thing that is made, is in the nominative. The pot was made by the pot maker. So in the and that's passive construction. This participle is for passive construction. So now that means the past passive participle has passive in it, okay? So that's going to be was made. The pot was made. So here, this was made is going to be the participle. The verb is krit. And by adding a ta, we have the participle. So krita means was made. It can also mean is. So was or is made. And what is being said here is two different things. This past passive participle, first of all, it can be used as the passive verb in the sentence. The past passive participle can be used as the verb in the sentence. Here, the pot was made by the pot maker. What's the verb in the sentence?
Was made.
Was made, right? And that's a passive. So, in the past passive participle, this was made can be a participle.
Can be a verb.
Yeah, was made is a verb, and I could use a participle for that, because the past passive participle can take the place of the verb. So, if I say the pot was made by the pot maker, in this case, was made is the verb in the sentence. Is the passive verb in the sentence. Forget this for now.
What does participle mean, actually?
Participle means that it's a verbal construction that is then nominalized. You can decline it as a noun.
Okay.
It's a verb that now becomes nominalized.
Okay.
But for now, just take this. Do you see that in this sentence, the pot was made by the pot maker? That was made as the passive verb? Does anybody have a problem with that? Do you have a problem with that?
No, but I'm going to ask a question.
Okay.
Because I read somewhere, I want to see if this holds up. In this construction, because it's in the past tense, as well as being passive, is it always going to have a helper verb, like was made, or has been done, or?
Not always, because I could say, I sent the letter. Or the letter was sent by me. The letter which was sent. Yeah, in the passive, I think it always has to have
a little helper verb.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good. That's a good thing.
But so can everybody see that was made as verb there? Now, what about this sentence? This isn't in the book. The pot which was made by me fell to the ground. The pot which was made by me fell to the ground. What's the verb in the sentence?
Was made. Fell.
Fell.
Oh, yeah.
The basic sentence, the pot fell to the ground. This is adjectival. The pot which was made by me is adjectival to the pot. But it defines the pot. Do you see that? If I say the pot fell to the ground, that's a simple sentence. The pot fell. The basic sentence, subject verb, the pot fell. Right? The pot fell. Then if I want to tell you more about the pot, I say, well, the blue pot fell. Okay. What if I want to tell you even more? The blue pot, which was made by me, that pot fell. Right? Or just the pot, which was made by me. I'm telling you more about the pot. So this is an adjectival phrase. The main sentence is the pot fell. That's the verb. Here's the subject, the pot fell. This adjective can be used, or which was made, let me use a name, because I'm going to put it in the Sanskrit, by Rama. The pot which was made by Rama fell. Right? Okay? Okay? I don't need that. We'll just have it fall. That's enough. Or I can even say, just to make it so we can make it real easy in the Sanskrit, falls. Like falls to the ground.
Okay.
Falls from the table, whatever. So do you see the difference here? The pot was made by the pot maker. Here, this was made is just being used as the verb. There's no other verb in the sentence. You see this? The pot was made by the pot maker. That's the verb. There's nothing else. Mm-hmm. But here, the pot which was made by Rama falls.
But then it's not past, then it's not past anymore, right?
Was made.
The
pot was made a long time ago by Rama. That pot that was made by Rama.
Well, the compound, it's true, it's still past, yeah. Okay, got it.
This is being used as an adjective. Mm-hmm. This is being used as a verb. Okay? So, let me show you this in a different way now. Same thing. If I just said gataha kritaha, gata means pot, gataha kritaha, the pot was made. That's all it says. The pot was made. That's a sentence. Right?
if I put Ramana, that would say the pot,
Kritaha.
Kritaha was made
Ramana
by Rama. You see it? The pot, Kritaha, Kritaha, just going to be declined like pot, but it's being used as the verb in the sentence. Passive verb. Passive verb. The pot was made Ramana by Rama. Instrument. Everybody see it?
Mm-hmm.
Now what if I went like this? Ramana Kritaha Gartaha Patati. Patati means falls. Third person singular, put, to fall. Ramana Kritaha Gartaha Patati. What's Ramana mean? By Rama. Kritaha.
What's
Ramana? Kritaha. The pot. The pot. Now you want to read backwards. The pot which was made by Rama. Patati. False. So now this becomes an adjectival phrase to pot. The pot. Kritaha, which was made by Rama. Ramena, Kritaha, Kritaha. You could also, just for now, say this. Kritaha, Kritaha, Patati. The pot which was made falls. Here's your verb. This is the verb.
Mm.
Right? So if this is the verb, this is not going to be, this is going to be the adjective. Right? So that's why they say that a past passive participle can either be the main verb of the sentence, like here, gataha kritaha, the pot was made by Rama, or, put this back, the pot which was made by Rama falls. Where this is now obviously the verb. Okay? You get it?
Yeah, let's do another one.
We'll do another one. I'm going to do this a little bit more with this one, and then we'll do another one. Mm-hmm. Everybody clear?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I just use the two words, gartaha, kritaha, what does this mean? Gartaha, kritaha.
Pot was made.
Was or is made. Actually, what we want was, but I want you to also just keep in your mind that the past passive participle is sometimes used in the present. So you usually will say the pot was made, but sometimes in context it'll have a present pot is made. Okay, I'll show you examples of that. So we'll just keep the past passive now. The past, the pot gataha krita was made. Okay, now. Remember that word order doesn't mean very much in Sanskrit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What if I just put this? Remember, pat means to fall, right? The pot which was made falls. Because if I add a verb, now this becomes the verb. Then this becomes adjectival to pot. The pot which was made falls.
And it's still in the past.
This is still, yeah. The pot which was made falls. Patati is present tense, but the pot was made. And sometimes word order, in this sentence, word order is not important. Right? Because if there's a genitive, sometimes the word order is important because of has to be of something. So it'll usually go in front of what it relates to. But say if I just, normally you would have subject, object, verb, and then adjectives to the subject, and adjectives to the verb, to the object, and adverbs. not the normal word order, but in Sanskrit there is no real normal word order, so you don't want to get attached to that. Okay. Okay, so now look at this sentence. So now we have the pot which was made false. Now what if I have I'm not doing any Sunday. Sorry. This should be closed. How is it closing? Ramena Kritaha Ghataha Padati. False. The pot which was made by Rama.
False.
If you, in your mind, at some point you'll get used to just reading this way, by Rama, it was made, the pot, false. So you just learn, because you recognize the part of speech, you know. But otherwise, you go to the, you find the verb. So, and when you're just learning, what do you do first? You find the verb. Yeah. Next thing you do, you find the subject. So what's the subject? It's not going to be krita, because krita is an adjective. So the subject is pot. The pot falls. So you found the verb. Then you find the subject. And now you have your basic sentence. Because a sentence only needs a subject and a verb. Okay? Now you see, is there any object in the sentence? No. So what is this? Well, gataha, nominative singular, kritaha, nominative singular, adjective, past passive participle. Nominative singular will be an adjective to gata. So your basic sentence, gataha patati, pot falls. Gataha, kritaha gataha. The pot which was made falls. Gataha kritaha gataha ramena kritaha gataha. The pot which was made by Rama. The subject of passive, of a passive voice, of passive, is an instrumental. So the pot which was made by Rama falls. See? Using these basic words, I'm going to do something else. Pashyati means to see. Drish pash, to see. Pashyati, third person, singular in the present tense. He or she sees. Pashyati. So, to make this easier for you, initially I'm going to put a subject. I'm going to do it all in masculine just to make it even easier. Here's your sentence. Ramena kritam ghatam pashyati harihi. That's the sentence. So you know Rama, you know krita, you know kata. Krita means was made, kata means pot, Rama is Rama, Hari is Hari, pash means to see.
Sees the pot made by Rama?
That's right. Mm-hmm. So first you go to the verb, pashuti. Then you have to look for the subject. Who is seeing? Find the subject here. Nominative of singular. Okay. Pashuti harihi. So that means what? Hari sees. Right? So hari sees. Now you look for an object. What does hari see? If you say, okay, here's the verb, pashuti sees. He or she sees. Is there a subject? Yeah, hari. Harihi, nominative of singular. So hari sees. What does hari see? Got to look for an object. What's the object? Gataha, gatau, gataha, gatam, gatau, gata, gatan. Okay? Gatam. Like Raman. Ramha, ramau, ramaha, raman. Gatam. Accusative singular. Gatam, pashati, hari. Hari, sees. Gatam. Accusative singular. Gatam, kritam gatam. Adjective. Adjective to gata. So gata is in the masculine nominative singular. In the masculine accusative singular. So kritam has to be in the masculine accusative singular. So hari sees the pot, kritam, which was made by Rama. You see it? Mm-hmm. Harihi sees the pot which was made by Rama. What if I went like this? Ramena Kritau, Gatau, Pashyati, Harihi. You know, since this is singular, because Gatau can be a nominative or singular dual. Ramaha, Ramau, Ramaha, Ramam, Ramau, Raman. But Harihi, Pashyati, singular. So Harihi, Pashyati, Hari sees the two pots which were made, adjective, to gata, so you have to agree, the two pots which were made by Rama. What if I went like this? I said Ramba. Rama said, I said Kumbhakata. Kumbhakata is a pot maker. Kumbhakata is a pot maker. Kumbhakarahi kritan kartan pashyati harihi. What's the verb? What's the subject? Oh, Hari sees. What case is this? Raman. Ramaha, Ramau, Ramaha, Ramam, Ramau, Raman. Case it a plural. So what's your basic sentence? Hari sees.
The three or more pots.
The three or more pots. Which were made. Adjective. Pot makers.
Oh.
Hari sees the pots which were made by the pot makers.
The two pot makers.
Ahi. Three or more.
Okay.
Right. Ramena, Rama Pyam, Ramahi. Hari sees the three or more pots, plural, which were made, adjectival, so it has to agree, which were made by the pot makers, Kumbhakarahi. Everybody see? Good. So, What's the verb? Remember that the past passive participle can be the verb of the sentence. Right? So what does the sentence say? Ramaha, Ramau, Ramaha, Ramam, Ramau, Raman. What's the subject here? Because it's passive tense, right? This means was made, right? What is it?
Two pots.
The two pots, Gatau,
were made
by Rama. Now it's. I could even say it could go like this. Ramena, a little differently. Kataha, Kritaha. Ramena, Kataha, Kritaha. What does that say?
All the pots were made by Rama.
Yeah, by Rama, the pots, three or more, were made. You want to see it?
Sarvaha.
Yeah, I could put Saturday actually in it. Saturday is like a pronoun, so I won't bring that in right now. Ramena, Kataha, Kritaha. Here, it's being used as the verb because there's no verb.
First one is the pots were made by Rama, right?
The two pots. Were made by Rama. This is the verb of the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Then this is the verb of the sentence. In both cases, there's no other verb, so this is the verb. So here, two pots were made by Rama. Mm-hmm. By Rama, all the pots, three or more, were made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So in both of these instances, the past passive participle is being used as the verb. Yeah. Now, what if I wanted to say Ramena Kritaha Kritaha Patanti? Pat means to fall. Ramena Kritaha Kritaha Patanti. What's the verb?
Patanti.
Third person plural. They fell. What fell? What's the subject? What fell?
The pot.
The pot made by Rama.
Yeah, this is actually your subject. This could also be in this order, but doesn't have to be. This is a better order. But I don't want you to start depending on that because it doesn't have to be in this order. So, Gataha Patanti, the pots fell. The pots which were made by Rama fell. Gataha Patanti. If I have it in this order, it's the same thing. If I just had Kritaha Patanti, I would assume the subject, that which was the things that were made fell. Right? The made things fell. Usually that's not going to be like that sometimes. But do you see how this Vairama, Kritaha, plural, not to plural, the pots, Kritaha, which were made, Patanti, they fell. Everyone see? Another example. It's actually the third example in this book. I'll start with that. Harinam. Drishtaha Sarpaha. Okay, first of all, let me tell you the verb. The verb is drish. It's very common. That's why I'm using this example. Drish means to see. And when drish takes the ta ending of a past passive participle, the sha goes to the lingual. This is very common, actually. And the ta changes to the lingual ta. And you get the form, drishta. So actually, it behooves you to memorize this form, drishta, because in Vedanta it comes all the time, because see or seen, right? So drishta is a common word. It means is or was seen. Now, Pashyati. Drish, this root drish becomes pash in the third person singular. It has to be memorized. So pashyati means he or she sees. And the passive form is drish yate. If you remember, the passive is a verbal form. The root just takes ya and then the apane for the ending. So drishyati. Pashyati means he or she sees. He sees. He or she sees. And it is seen, whatever. Okay. Ishira is seen. Drishyate. But drishtaha is the past passive participle, drishta. Okay. And when a root, many times when a root ends in sha, it will change to the lingual, and the ta of the past passive participle will change to the lingual, and you get drishta. We'll go over these changes again, but just to remind you, have your Anton on page 86 and 87. They take you through number 84 on page 86, perfect participle passive. They give like 8 examples of how the past passive participle is formed. And we went over a lot of those. We'll go over them again when you get more used to past passive participle. But just in case you kind of wanted to read through them, it's good. Okay? But all I want you to understand now is this. Drishtaha is the past passive participle of drish, and it means was seen. Okay? Everybody with me on that? Hari means hari. And sarpa, the masculine noun, means snake. If hari is an e ending, short e ending, masculine noun, what would harina be? Which case? Instrumental singular. Good. Harina. By hari. Harina, drishtaha sarpaha. The snake? What does it say?
Was seen by Hari.
The snake was seen by Hari. What would this say? Okay. The snake was seen. Everybody clear on that? The snake was seen by Hari. So now, this is the verb in the sentence. There's no other verb. But if I went harinam drishtaha sarpaha patati, using pat to fall again, harinam drishtaha sarpaha patati, then what does it say?
Snake falls.
And what did the whole set say?
Which was seen by Hari.
Falls. But, yeah. Once you add this patati, the verb, then the snake falls. The snake, which was seen by Hari, falls. Right? If I don't have this, this is the verb. The snake was seen by Hari. If I had a verb, but like patati, the snake which was seen by Hari falls. Now, with that, let's do this. Harina Drishtam Sarpam Pashami. Misha Sarva Pashami. So we're Pash means to see, so Pashami, I see. So here's the verb. Harina Drishtam Sarpam Pashami. There's no subject because the subject is contained in the verb. If there was a subject, I would have to write aham. And usually if the subject is aham or is a pronoun, they don't put it. But you can. But here I'm putting it just for clarity. So, bashami aham, subject. Right? I, aham. Bashami aham, I see. What do I see?
Snake that was seen by
Harry. Yeah, I see the snake. Here's the accusative. That's why we went from nominative to accusative, because now I'm the subject. Right? Here, this is Hari saw the snake. That's the subject. The snake was seen by Hari. But now I'm saying I see the snake. Snake has now got to be put in accusative. I see the snake. That was seen by Hari. You see it? One more little example of this, and then we'll quit. Harina Drishtan Sarban Pashami Aham. I see. What case is this?
Plural.
Yeah. Raman. Right? So what that, what would that say? Sarpan Pashami Aham. I see the snakes. Three more snakes. Which were seen by Hari. It's gotta agree. Okay. Okay, correctly? We'll play with this in different formations next week. I'm going to spend a little time on participles, so. Everybody clear?
Okay.
Sarpa is not, is masculine. Sarpaha, sarpao, sarpaha. Yeah. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.